Manhood, it can feel complicated. There's all this stuff you're just supposed to know. But what if you don't?
I could use a starting point. You know, one thing to improve my workout or complete a do-it-yourself project.
When it comes to the biggest questions in life, it'd be nice to have actual answers from real experts. So we went out and found some.
My name is Cameron.
And I'm Andy. And this is Man Skills. Are you thinking about sex? Now you are. What happens in the bedroom is important, but it's something most of us aren't having open conversations about. Studies indicate that when sex in a marriage isn't working well, it can affect up to 80% of the relationship in a negative way. Today, we're shining a light on what happens in the dark. As a certified sex and relationship therapist brings the heat around the one thing you need to know about getting your wife to have sex with you.
Today, our guest name is Emma Schmidt. Emma leads the only sex therapy group practice in Cincinnati, Ohio. Emma, how does someone get into that?
Well, I get into that because I grew up in a faith-based community where this stuff just wasn't talked about. I went to school at a Christian university, and we were told not to talk about this, or we were encouraged to steer away from it. And so I wanted to be able to explore the Bible from a place of what does it actually say about sex, sexual intimacy? And I think it says something different than what a lot of us have been told. How do we really strip that away from what we were told to what it actually says? So it set me on this path of how can I just sit with people and validate, empathize, reduce shame around their sexual experiences?
Awesome. Well, it's awesome to have you on the podcast today. So I really want to know, what is the one thing I need to know about getting my wife to have sex with me? Now, little caveat there. It's an interesting question, and I'd love to know what your opinion of that question is.
So that question, I think if women were listening to this, would feel very triggered by that.
I would agree with you. Yeah.
Yes, it's a little aggressive, but I get it. I get that this would be a question, and the way that it's worded would be the way that I think many men would ask. So I'm going to help create a way for you to look at it, maybe a different way how to ask that question throughout this podcast.
Great.
The one thing about getting your wife to have sex with you is communication. Number one, it's not that juicy, but it's like critical foundation. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we enter into a relationship and we think these are the things that I do to have sex. You have an erection, you stick it in the vagina, you have an orgasm and you're done, right? Or you see certain things in the movies and you think that's what I'm going to do and that's what my partner is going to enjoy. When in all reality, your partner might like a lot of different things. I think the key piece is your partner being the treasure of knowing all the information for you to experience the best sex that you can. So being able to ask them, sit down and say, this is going to be awkward. This is going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I think this is going to be incredibly beneficial. And that's what I see in my sessions, too. As soon as I have them start the sex conversation starter, what we find is that they might not even need to come back in for a session because they have all the information that they need. So,
wow.
Yeah, that looks like sitting down and saying things like asking questions like, what's your favorite sexual experience that we've had? Or what do you not like that we do that maybe I've been doing for years that I'm now finding out you don't actually care about at all and I've spent all this time trying to get in there.
Yeah.
What do you fear about sex? What holds you back from engaging sexually with me? What are the barriers around sex? What's your biggest fantasy around sex? What would you like to try that we've never tried before? And I think when we have that conversation, it's really important to be able to actually hear what our partner is saying. And so using techniques like healthy listening. So that looks like being curious about what your partner's saying instead of looking at them in disgust, like, what the fuck did you say? Like, you know, like, how can I say, like, can you tell me a little bit more about that?
What do you
mean when you say put this where? Being able to sit there, be curious, empathize, and validate what they're saying, like, oh, okay, that makes sense that would be scary for you or that, wow, yeah, you do have a lot of stuff going on in your life. You would be really tired and you don't have a lot of energy for me. That makes sense of why sex gets put on the back burner. And then when you're speaking and you're talking about your sexual experiences, speak from a place of this is how I feel, not criticizing, blaming the other person for the experiences you've had, but this is my experience. This is what I would like. This is what I don't like. And so when we're able to enter into a conversation with these healthy speaking and listening experiences, I think it can be good. But the biggest piece is having that conversation and really understanding, like, it can be hard to know what questions to ask in the first place. So,
wow. So, better communication is the one thing. Man, it seems so simple, but I can tell you from experience, it is not.
Yeah.
So, Emma, you're married. Mm-hmm. Andy, you're married. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, I'm single and I'm practicing celibacy. Mm-hmm. I do have a daughter, so I can't pretend to have always been this way. But for someone like me who is single and who's not married or getting married anytime soon, what would you say to them? Is there anything for them in this conversation? Should we bookmark this and come back? Oh, I have a wife now, or I have a spouse now, and now I'm ready to engage in this conversation. What would you say to our single listeners?
Always bookmark it. So I think for the single person, what I believe is that God created arousal and desire for us, right? And what I don't want the single person to hear around church is be absent, shut it off, don't experience anything. Arousal is bad. The feelings that you're having around sex are bad. I think they're good, and God designed them for a certain reason. So being able to lean into them and say, like, okay, this thing is turning me on right now. How do I appreciate that, understand it, maybe bookmark it, but allowing yourself to just feel that experience instead of pushing it down and saying, this is for another day. Because what happens is you start to turn your body off. Your mind says, this is wrong, if we start to approach it that way, and then shuts your body off. Mm. And your pelvic floor, which is where your penis is, starts to tighten and say, no, this is no go. Like, lock it up. You're not allowed to feel this. So instead, I think, what would it be like to say, like, okay, my body's feeling something right now, and that's okay, and this is God-given. How do I experience and explore that and just lean into it versus saying, you can't do this right now, or shutting it off? So,
Can you tell us what that means practically? How do I lean into these feelings and emotions in a healthy way?
Say you're in a relationship, you're dating somebody, and you're finding the situation to heat up, and you're wanting to, let's say, like, make out with them or whatever. Being able to ask yourself, what's going on in my body right now? Is this okay for me? What does God say about the heart of all of this? How can I lean into the heart piece of my sexual arousal and desire? And what boundaries do I want to set for myself to create some purity around that heart and create some boundaries around what you want to save in terms of a marriage versus what you're experiencing now? So I think practically diving into, how do I experience these sexual arousal? So arousal is what my body is experiencing. And then also identifying, what are the boundaries that I want to have and save for something that is for marriage? What do I think the Bible says? How can I explore that piece and just create a solid plan for myself?
I'll change gears here a little bit. For the married side of the coin, that's where I'm at. I have a couple questions around that. So how frequently should couples be having sex? And does more sex mean a healthier relationship?
There are research studies out there that show how frequently married couples have sex.
Okay.
I don't talk about it. Because I don't think it's relevant.
Oh, cool.
So what I think is relevant is talking to each other about what is going to work for you. Well, that's going to be your best bet, is turning towards each other and figuring out, okay, you want it 10 times a day. I want it once a month. What are we going to do about this, right?
Yeah.
Like, research is research, which is fine, but what's going to work for us, and how do we figure out how to work in that scope of us being in this relationship?
Yeah.
So the more frequent you have sex, I don't think speaks to the health of your relationship. I think it just speaks to the frequency.
Right.
So you could be having sex every day, but your wife could be taking it, and you could be thinking about porn, and then the ejaculation happens and you're done. I don't think that's healthy, but you guys could be having a lot of sex, right?
Right, yeah.
So I think it's about the quality, what the intention is around the sexual experience, and coming together and figuring out a plan, like, what's going to work for both of us, not just taking it and thinking about other things or how often it's happening, but how do we create a plan that's going to work for us? So that might look like scheduling it.
Yeah.
And I know there is, like, nobody wants to schedule it, but if you're, I'm telling you, if you're not scheduling it, it's not going to happen. Like, spontaneous.
Yeah.
It's going to be, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Do you feel me? Like, you get it. Okay.
I'm married, and I will say that scheduling is, in that regard, way better than trusting the spontaneity.
Right. Everybody's confused on what's happening. Yeah.
Yep.
So I think there's a really cool exercise that I do when you're like, I don't want to do this scheduled thing, but you also want it to be spontaneous. And that's what I call the jar exercise. So you both have a jar and you put in, typically you would have this sex conversation starter first to know what you want, what your partner wants, what's off the table.
Right.
And you put in what you're interested in these jars. So whatever that might be. And it doesn't have to be sex related. It could be sexual intimacy or intimacy related. Mm-hmm. And what happens is you say, okay, Andy, you're going to pull from your partner's jar and you're going to say, it's your week. Say you say, we're going to do this. We're going to pull from each other's jars once a week. Yeah. You're going to pull from your partner's jar. Then you are going to schedule it. Yeah. And you are going to say, you know what, on Monday night, she doesn't have these things going on. She wants a bubble bath that she wants me to be a part of. Yeah. I'm going to set it up, and then I'm going to initiate the way she wants to be initiated. So that right. might be sitting down and having a conversation, getting to know what happened during her day, like that intimacy piece, the emotional intimacy.
Right.
And then bringing her into that experience. And then the next week, it would be her turn. She's going to pull from your jar. You don't know when you're going to be initiated, but she's going to initiate you the way that you want to be initiated. And that right. might look more aggressive than, like, having a conversation. I don't know.
Sure.
So it's about turning towards each other and thinking about, how can I love my partner best, which can be really fun. You don't know what you're going to pull from the other partner's jar, and you might be learning something about them and yeah. what they put in their jar. So that's a way to increase some frequency that is still quality, thinking about your partner and not so much a routine right. experience. Yeah.
Right.
I was thinking about the title, the one thing about getting your wife to have sex with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about the guy who's married, who's frustrated, who feels like he's trying, but they're just not clicking. What would you say to that guy who's listening right now?
I get it. I see that guy in my week, my office every week, right? And so I think it's slowing down and having that conversation with your wife. Man, I'm frustrated. It feels like maybe you're frustrated. I think maybe I'm approaching it wrong. Mm. Understanding that men and women experience sexual desire differently, I think, can be huge. So a lot of times what we find is that a man experiences what we call spontaneous desire. Mm-hmm. So that's, I look at my partner and I think, man, I could have sex with her right now. She is beautiful. I desire her. Where can we put the kids? Like, I need to do this. Yeah. I need to get this done. Where the woman typically has what we call responsive desire. And that is, I need something to start to get my body to become aroused. So desire is, I want to have sex, and arousal is my body is experiencing that sexual energy. Responsive desire looks like flirting with your partner all day long, or doing the, if you know of love languages, how can mm-hmm. I love my partner best throughout the day? Getting her a gift, or sitting down and getting to know her a little bit more, like that emotional intimacy. Understanding how your partner likes to be pursued might be very different than the way that you're pursuing her. So I think maybe the sexual frustration, sometimes what we'll find is we just need to switch our lens a little bit in terms of, I'm initiating the way that I like to be initiated, but that might not work for my partner. So how do I start to pursue her in the way that works for her? Mm-hmm. And maybe some of that might start to change a little bit too. What I hear are that many men are definitely ruminating on sex. Mm-hmm. When can I pursue her? Is now the right time? I don't know. She seems kind of busy. Oh, she seems relaxed. I'm going to do it now. I'm going to go in, right? Like, yeah. It's kind of always there. Mm-hmm. For the women, it seems like their mind might be in a different place, for sure. He might be thinking about it, which if you are flirting with your partner all day or pursuing her all day, she's starting to think about it, so her body's getting aroused. For men, if you're thinking about it all day, you're just in a natural state of arousal all the time where it's not even on our mind, right? Mm-hmm. How do we start to shift our mind from it being so much about an equation or a performance, but instead being something that's playful and inviting and something that, like, God created it for, mm-hmm. which is for pleasure and exploring each other? What would that look like? What would it look like to slow everything down, right. do some sensual massaging versus it just going into the bedroom and getting the act over with? So sometimes what I experience with women is that because they're not experiencing what would be pleasurable for them, but they don't know how to talk about that with their partner, yeah. they just endure it, right? And then on the male side, they're frustrated because they're like, I don't want her to just endure it. Right. I want her to have fun and like this and really want to be in here. Mm-hmm. So I think it does come down to having that conversation. What would you want to be different about this?
Yeah.
What is your environment? Like, what creates that for you?
So, Emma, it feels like we've spent a lot of time talking about the physical act of sex, but it seems to me like it has actually way more ramifications on the relationship side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Help me and help us unpack the practical side of the sexual and relational aspect of this whole intimacy thing.
Yeah. So I think whether we're single, engaged, newly married, been married for a while, I can give you all the techniques. I can teach you how to give a really good blowjob. But right. if your partner has some setbacks that you're not connecting on, that blowjob's going to mean nothing, right? Like, they're mm-hmm. just doing another act to check it off the list, right? What's important is understanding, how do I start to know and understand my partner to the deepest place that I can? Like, how mm-hmm. do I really know them? That's intimacy, knowing and being known. And so one of the things that I spend doing with most of my couples is, what's holding you back from getting to know your partner? Because if we're really in tune with that person and we're connecting on a deeper level, it doesn't matter what the techniques are. We still have a good sexual satisfying experience, whatever that might be. We feel bonded in that way. And so that could be shame. It could be saying, like, whenever I grew up, the only messages I received was, I am not loved unless I'm sexual. And so that's what I'm getting from you, that okay. if I'm sexual, then it's all you really care about. Or cultural messages that are saying, you have to look and perform this certain way, or that my dad left for another woman, and so I fear unless I give you these sexual things that you're going to leave too. And so it makes me resent sex. Right. There are all these different things that I think can get in the way of true intimacy. So it's not necessarily about the physical act of sex. I think it's about, how do we start to break down some of the walls around what's contributing to not bringing us closer? How do we understand that? How do we speak language to it? And how do we start to speak truth back into those lies that we've been told throughout our lives that are creating those walls, or that have created those walls? How do we support each other and create a team? How do we turn towards each other and be the best support and just know each other in that deepest way that we can? Ultimately, that intimacy has to come from God first before our partner. So if we're able to hear that from God, that identity piece from God, and then turn towards our partner and hear that, I think that's the intimacy piece of the sexual relationship that we can bring God into.
Yeah.
If we can hear that from Him, we can start to hear that from our partner. In the Bible, it talks about God knowing us. And a lot of times the word know in the Bible is that intimacy, like really knowing us on a deeper level and knowing Him on a deeper level. So if we can bring the designer, the creator of sex into that, like, how cool would that be? If you think about whatever your favorite gadget is, if you brought that designer in to say, like, how do I utilize this in its best form?
Yeah.
And then you find out all these tricks, like the iPhone, you find out all these like cool tricks that you're like, I didn't know I did half these things. That's sweet. If you could bring God into that, how cool would that be to say, like, what works best? What buttons do I press? Or how do I get into experience this level of pure intimacy? What does that look like? If we can look towards our designer for that, how cool would it be to experience a deeper level of sexual intimacy with our partner? My husband and I, whenever I had given birth to my second child, I was not feeling having sex. I was tired and exhausted. And I had wanted him to approach me in a certain way. And he'd come in and he said, hey, do you want to have sex? And I'm like, that is not the way that I want to be approached. So initially I was like frustrated and taking a deep breath. And I immediately prayed, because we were trying to figure out how are we going to fit sex into having two kids. And it just like wasn't working. And so I took a deep breath and I was like, God, please renew my mind. Please renew my mind. And I just kept saying it over and over again. And it was like this awkward, he was staring at me like, what is she doing? And then almost immediately, within seconds, he started pursuing me differently. My body felt more relaxed, and we were able to have this experience that felt really close and connected that we really needed to have had. And that was us bringing God into that sexual experience to say, like, we want this. We want to have this. But we're like missing the mark lately. Like, this is tough stuff.
Wow. Yeah.
And it was a really cool experience being able to have intimacy from like different levels in that sexual piece.
Emma, this has been really eye-opening and less awkward than I thought it was going to be. So
yes.
I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, heck yeah. Hey, we'd love to continue the conversation with you. You can email us both at podcast@crossroads.net.
Man Skills is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. Special thanks for our sweet theme music to our friend, Alex Stevens. Whoop, whoop.